Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Ayin, we are holding three lines off the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Onan. In the name of Shmuel. Amar Rav Onan, Amar Shmuel. Mois shall yisoymim. You're meant to know that if there is any money owned by orphans, we're allowed to try to invest it in a way that profits them, in order to support them, right? Mutar lahalvoisan beribis, you can actually lend that money out with interest. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responds to him, Mishum diyas mininu, you know, just because they're yisoymim, they don't have to keep the rules. Safina lhu isura, we give them things which are forbidden. What are they doing taking ribis? That's not allowed. That's not a reason for taking ribis. Yasmi, and he added a pretty harsh add-on. Yasmi de achli de lav de tu. Even yisoymim, if they eat things which don't belong to them, meaning they accept forbidden money, leizlu, they should follow basar shivkayu, they should follow the one who left them, meaning they should die just like him, basically. This is not right. There's no reason. This doesn't justify ribis. Amar leis, so Rav Nachman asked Rav Anan, you know, you quoted Shmuel, right? That this is allowed. Please, can you tell me exactly how you know this from Shmuel? Was it something that you heard from him directly, or was it just a derivation, a conclusion based on some sort of episode involving Yisaimim assets? Emily, tell me, Izu, Gufa, the actual, core of the event. Meaning, tell me exactly what happened. Izu, Gufa, du Uvda, Hei Chihava, what exactly transpired which prompted this, you know, conclusion. Amar Leis, he says like this. Hahu duda debnei Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva passed away, and his children had this copper vat, this big, you know, thing that is commercial, you know, vat. Dahava Beimar Shmuel. So Shmuel was, you know, the caretaker, looking after this piece of equipment. And he used it to their benefit. He would rent it out in order to provide them with income. And he would do as follows. Tokil, he would weigh it prior to giving it to the customer, Yoel, and give it to him. So pretty much they had the actual weight confirmed prior to the rental. V'tokel v'shokelei, and when he took it back, right, from the renter, at the end of the rental period, he would also, you know, weigh it once again to confirm if there's any discrepancy, and he would charge that to the renter as well. And not only that, he would charge two things, rental, right, and damages. The shokel agro, he would take that rental fee. The shokel pachs, and also the damage compensation as well. And the question is, well, isn't it one or the other? Otherwise, you're running into ribis. E agro, if you're charging for the rental, that means it's in you're responsible, not the renter. He's paying rent. Like pachs, you shouldn't be charging for the damages. V pachs, you're charging for damages, so basically it's in his possession. So it's like a loan. He's fully responsible, like a loan. So you have no right, you have no business taking the rental fee, loy agro. So basically, I concluded from this incident that apparently Shmuel holds that you're allowed to accept ribis on behalf of Yisrael. Amar leis, Rav Nachman responds to Rav Anan, no, actually, this story doesn't tell us anything about any heter of taking ribis. Kiha. This type of arrangement, I feel a bit diknon, even adults with long beards, right? Right? Diknon is a lotion of beard. Even adults with beards, meaning not just Yisaimim, anybody. Nami Shori, it's also allowed. Let me have it to proceed with this type of procedure. You know why? Because ultimately the owner does have some loss on the side. You know, when you use the vat, the fire pretty much burns out even the whatever's, you know, the walls of the kli, whatever's there, let alone the fact that there's some, you know, deterioration, but even the actual wall that's there, the whole material gets affected by the fire. The kama de mikli nechasha butcher dummy, the more the nechashas gets burned, the more, you know, diminishes the value of the equipment, and therefore that's something which the owner sort of absorbs, that loss, so ultimately it's okay, even if he charges rental and damages, because he's also contributing to the expense as well. Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Chizda. Some say Amar Rabba Bar Yisrael Bar Chama Rav Sheshes. But there is some sort of leeway when it comes to Yisaimim. When it comes to Ribbis the Rabbanan, Mois Shal Yisaimim. So funds belonging to Yisaimim, Mutar Lahal Voisan, you'll have to lend them out in a sort of Iska type of investment. Karav L'Schar V'Rochek L'Hefzit. So typically, the allowable Iska arrangement involves giving somebody money. Half of it deemed a loan, half deemed the AP kadoin, right? Just like a deposit, which is still mine, right? Still belongs to the investor. The profits are shared, a split. So it's a profit sharing arrangement where half the profits go to the investor and half to the manager. By the way, that's the concept of heter iska, right? We don't lend with interest, but we can make a sort of an investment with this type of structure. Half is still mine. I'm just giving it to you as a pikad, and half is yours. You're borrowing that. So now when there's any profits involved, the profit coming from your half, the milva, is yours. The half belonging to my pikad is mine, but I have to add another, you know, sort of token amount to give you a salary, so to speak, for your efforts on my behalf. That eliminates any ribbis concerns. So that's the standard procedure. That's the typical formula, as we learned the last couple of days. But when it comes to Yisraelim, we're more lenient. We allow them to invest their money closer to gain, and further away from any chance of loss, meaning no risk investment is allowed. So basically, they'll split the profits, but they're not liable for any part of the losses. Typically, we don't do that. But here, we sort of suspend the Issa Rabbanon in order to benefit the Yisraelim so they don't use up their money. This way they have constant income and what to live from. Tana Rabbanon. On this topic of an Iska, what is the proper formula? Karav L'Schar V'Rochek L'Hefzid. So if the fellow invests his money, a regular person, not a Yosem, it's closer to gain than to loss, meaning he's just splitting the profits but not incurring any losses or very little losses, right, less than 50%. So the share of gain is higher than the share of risk. That's a rasha. It's improper because, right, as we said, it has to be 50-50 in order to justify and to circumvent any ribbis. Karav lehefsed v'rochek l'schar chassid. On the other hand, the other side of the spectrum, a person who's a chassid goes the other way. He's more machmer, and he takes only a little bit of the profit relative to a larger undertaking of loss. So that's great, because the investor is actually losing more than he's gaining. That's very far from ribbis. Let's say there's a large amount of profit and a large amount of loss as well. Right, so he's accepting upon himself a greater share of the risk, corresponding to the greater share of the profit, or rochek mizeh umizeh, a small share of the risk, corresponding to a small share of profit. As long as it's balanced, that's okay. Zumidas kaladim, that's the proper way to do it. Right? Provided, again, that the manager gets some sort of fee for his efforts in looking after the portion that belongs to the investor. Amalei Rabbi Rav Yosef, Hani Zuzid Liasmi, Echei Avdinilu. What is the proper way of approaching the Yisaimim fund? What are we supposed to, how are we supposed to invest it properly? In a responsible, fruitful way. Amalei says like this, Maisvinu Lu Beidina. The Bezin sits down and... We put the money in the Bezdin, right? We entrust it in the court's care. The Avina Lu Zuza Zuza, and the Bezdin, hands them $1 at a time as per their needs. Amar Leis, he says, Vakakalya Karna. What do you mean? The actual principle is going to be diminished, and then they're going to be desperate. They're going to be in destitute. Amar Leis, he says like this. Okay, what do you have to suggest? Mar, you, Hechi Abid, what would you do? Amar Leis, he says like this. But Kina Gavra, we research and we find a person. The Islay, they have a Pricha. Who, wealthy man, he has gold bullion, flakes of gold, which typically is not something that would be a pikadon in his possession. We assume it's his, right? And we take that from him as a deposit, and we give him the money, the fund. And we give him the money from the yisaimim. So we give it to him as an investment. And the Yisaimim now have a greater share of gain than risk, right? That's allowed by the Yisaimim, so they're all not, let's say they're not undertaking any risk or just a minuscule amount, but they're, you know, they're sharing, you know, equally in the profits, and then they have constant income with very little or no risk involved. This is only allowed if we take this, you know, raw gold from this fellow to serve as a backup. But some, you know, specific item that he may have, we don't take that. We don't rely on that. Duma, because Ninu, maybe that's been entrusted to him by somebody else. It doesn't really belong to him. V'asimar, and the owner will come along. V'yahav siman, and prove that it belongs to him. We'll show his identity. We'll show simanim. V'shakali, and take the item. Right? By pointing out simanim of ownership in the item. So basically, we're not going to have our backup. Oh, collateral. So that's not something to be relied upon. Amar of Ashi. Okay, that's all very nice. If you have all these, if you meet all these, you know, conditions, tenach, that's good. Imishtakach gavra dislidav apricha. If you find a person with just the perfect gold, but let's say you don't have that person around, what do we do then? Ilo imishtakach gavra dislidav apricha. If you don't have this fellow with the gold, nechlo zuzi diasmius. That means the money of the yisoyim are going to be consumed. I mean, there's no other way to do this. Elamar Ramashi. Let's take a middle of the road approach. Chazinan, we look and we find a person gavra dimishapu nichsei who has assets. Without any, you know, issues, nobody's claiming ownership to his assets. Sounds like he's pretty much established financially. Mehemen, he's a trustworthy person. Meshamadin deraisa, he follows the rules of the Torah. He never experienced a cherem of the Rabbanon. Vavinu niale, and we trust him as a trustworthy person. We give it to him. Vebeidina, in the presence and under the authority of the Bezdin, as an iska, as we explained before, in a way that the Yusayimim have income and very little or no risk. Says the Mishnah, "Ein makablin tzoyin barzel miYisrael." Tzoyin barzel, literally, is translated as sheep, barzel of iron. No loss, no risk. So basically, a fellow is makabel; he commits himself by taking these animals from miYisrael, and we establish the current value, and that's how much he's committing himself to that value. He's guaranteeing that amount, irrespective of whether the, you know, the stuff gets lost or you know, diminishes in value, and the investor, the owner, will now share profits. That's not allowed. You know why? That's ribis. Neshul ribis, because the makabel, the farmer, the fellow who's raising the animals, he's basically borrowing this material because he had committed to its value. That means he's borrowing it. It's under his auspices, his responsibility, and anything that he gives back to the owner is ribis. But you can do that from a goy, ava makablin, son basel manak. Veloivin mehen, we can borrow from them with ribis, umalvanois and ribis, we can lend them with interest. Vechen begeritoshev, likewise, a goy who has ceased worshipping of a dezara, he's a geritoshev, he's like a goy when it comes to, you know, ribis interactions. Finally, malvi yisrael moisav shal akum edasa akum, a yid can lend the money, belongs to a goy with a goy's permission, with ribis, avaloivin das yisrael, but not under the authority of Yisrael, which the Gemara will explain for us. Says the Gemara, Lemaimer, do you mean to say the Bereshus of the Makabel Kaima, when a person is Makabel, these animals, you know, as we explained, the animals are in his possession. He is Achrai, and it's like he's borrowing them? Really? It identifies with him? He's like sort of the owner at this time? V'raminu v'vakash ha-makabal tzoyin barzal b'nan nochrim. If a person does this from a goy, v'lodeis p'turim min ha-b'chayr, the offspring, even if it's the firstborn kosher animals, there's no din of b'chayr on that. Why? Because we know that the animals of a goy are p'tur from b'chayr. It's only something which applies to Yisrael, not to goyim. And the point here is that even the offspring, which are sort of going to be split between the owner and the farmer, I'll consider the guys. And here we say a makabel is fully responsible. He's like the owner. Amar Abaye loy kasha. Answer is like this. Depends. How the makabel alay oinse vezula. The Mishnah in Bechers is speaking where the guy, the animal owner, had committed himself to any accidents, to any diminishing in value of those animals. He's still really the owner. And therefore it's pata from Bechers. Oh, but in our Mishnah, where we consider the makabel as the owner, the loy makabel alay. Once the Zulu, the owner had not committed himself to these risks, and therefore the Mikabel is deemed owner. Amalei Rabba, so Rabba asks him, either Mikabel le Mora, Unse Vezula. So in the Mishnah in Bechers, you're saying that the guy, the owner, is fully committed to Oynes and to diminishing value. Then why is it called Saint Barzal? Saint Barzal Kurs Le? That term applies to a fellow who is Mikabel and commits himself to all this. Void another kash, Adetani Seifa. Let's move on to the next part of our Mishnah. You can't do this from a Yisrael, but you can do it from a guy. Avam Makablin, Tzoyin Barzal, and Akam. Well, if Tzoyin Barzal has the option of an owner still holding on to all the risks, Lifloig, we're listening to the day. The Mishnah could have found a distinction within the first case, where he was Makabal from Yisrael. Sometimes it's not okay, where the Makabal is committed to the risk, and sometimes it is okay when the owner maintains his responsibility to that risk. But medvam amurim, when is it no good? The lekavah leonsev azul, the owner is not responsible for these things. So it's considered in the reshus of the makabel, as we explained, he becomes like a borrower and should not be returning, paying that extra stuff because that's ribis. Avakavul mara onsev azula, but in the case where the owner still retains full responsibility, shaper dami, that's okay because you're not borrowing from me. I'm still the owner. Elam Rava says, Rava, you know what? Idi vi idi. You know, the term Tzoyin Barzal always means that the mekabel, the worker, the manager, is fully responsible. So let's veer away from that suggestion that there's, you know, two different types. Idi vi idi lo kabel ole mora unse vizula. Both in our Mishnah and Vav Metzia and the Mishnah in Bechiris, both speaking about the same case. Well, the owner is not responsible for Enes and for Zoyel. The Makabel is responsible. So back to the question. Here we say that the Makabel is fully responsible. It's under his auspices. He's like borrowing the material. So why by Bechir? Because Bechir is Hainu Tam Devlodeis Pturim Nach Bechir. So what's left to be explained is why over there by Bechir? Don't we consider the newborn animals as belonging to the Makabel Yisrael, and they should be Chayif and Bechir? Why are they part of? Why do they relate to the guy? The answer is like this. Because he has access to those animals. Given the Loyoiv Zus, they had a profit sharing arrangement, right? But if the Yisrael, who's raising his animals, will not pay up on time, guess what? Asi Nachri Tafas Lo Behema. The guy will come and snatch the actual Behema. Vilo Mashach Lo Behema. He doesn't find the Behema around, guess what? He'll go straight to the offspring. So he's sort of a pseudo-owner. He has control of the whole stock. Tavzul of Lodis. And therefore, Vahavala Yad Nochi Remsa. It's considered that the guy's hand is right here. Meaning, he casts his shadow over all these animals. V'chol Yad Nochi Remsa Potem and Bechira. And that's considered sufficient to exempt it from Bechira because he has sort of some sort of financial claim, financial stake in this whole herd. Okay, so bottom line, we had a kasha. So in Barzal is an issue of ribis because I'm fully accepting responsibility and then when I give you some profits, it's like I'm paying for the ribis. Whereas in Meseches Bechiras, we learned that if a yid is makabel, so in Barzal, a guy, it's part of a Bechira. Apparently, it still relates to the owner. Well, Abaye said it depends how strong he's committed. Rabbi says, Bechir is totally different because there the owner is still Yad Nachir Be'emtza, is still connected to these things. Even though technically the Yisrael is fully responsible, if he's not going to pay up on time, the guy will come, seize these animals, and that's sufficient connection to consider it somewhat related to the guy and Potiphar and Bechir. We have a pasuk in Mishlei. Mar Behoinei B'neshech V'tar, as a person increases his wealth by accepting ribis payments. He's really amassing it for the choinein dalim, for a king who is to disperse money to poor people. Basically, Hashem will take it away from him. He's not going to hold on to this money. It's going to be dispersed and distributed to others. Who's this choinein dalim, the one who grants to the poor? Omar Rav Kigoyin, for instance, Shvar Malka, that was the name of a Persian king who seemed to have been some sort of, you know, had some sort of element of benevolence, and he would take the mammon of Yisrael and distribute it to the Geisha poor. Amar Ibn Achman, Amar Li Yehuna, Rav Huna told me, L'nitzrucha elad afilu ribis David kichav. The point of this pasuk is to warn even against accepting ribis from a guy. Not doing, you know, interest business with a guy. That's the point of the pasuk. From a yid, of course it's asa. Even from a guy, which is a big chiddush. Right. The Gemara later, the point here is that that you might learn from the guy's ways. I believe the Rishonim, the Hesa explains that we want to try to keep away from them totally, and it says Gzeira Shel Yilmud Mimaisav, right? Oh, which is based on the Gemara later, right? Because we're concerned about too much interaction with a guy and generating camaraderie, so we want to keep away from the goyim, and therefore we have to minimize our interaction, and we shouldn't be involved in ribbous transactions with the goyim, because it's very enticing and drawing. So therefore, the chacham don't allow. So that's the point of the pasuk. Beware, even from a goyim. But by the way, the Gemara later will tell us that if that's his business, that's kedei chayav, then it was allowed. But with a note of caution. Heisvei Rav l'Rav Nachman. So comes Rav and asks the kasha to Rav Nachman. How could you say you can't accept ribbis from a guy? L'nachri tashich, it's a pasuk. L'nachri sashich. Right? Now, what does sashich mean? My sashich, love, so sheikh. That you could receive money from a, ribbis money from a guy. Right? So it works both ways. You can give him ribbis and take money from him. Ribbis is what? So the Gemara says, no, loy. Sashich, you can only give him ribbis, but not accept ribbis from the goy. Loy sogit lav hachi. I mean, is the Torah, instructing us to pay ribbis to a goy? I mean, the fact that it's allowed, that's obvious, because why not? He's not a yid. This ribbis only applies to a yid. So is the Torah instructing us, being mitzavos, to give to a goy? It's not enough without it. Meaning, why would a person be required to give him ribbis? Perhaps the pasuk is saying, look, you can give the guy ribbis, but don't give ribbis to you. That's us. Well, that we know already. Your brother, a yid, to give him ribbis, it's a pasuk. Not allowed to do that. The answer is lavar alav basay v'leisasay. Don't do it. And here comes another pasuk. It's allowed to the goy, but not allowed to the yid. That's like an asay, because it's derived from a, even though it's a leisasay, don't give it to the yid, but it's derived from a, it's a derivation. That's called it's like an asay. Right? A lav that's coming from an asay is an asay. So give to the goy, but we learn from there, don't give to the yid. That's a lav that's derived from a negative, from a positive, has the din of a positive. So a person gives ribbis to a yid, he violates two things, and I say and I say. Eisvei, here comes another kasha. How could you say that one is not allowed to be accepting ribbis from a goy? Lo even mehen, our mishnah. You can borrow from them with ribbis, or malvin oisim and lend them by ribbis. B'chaim b'ger toisha. So it's fully allowed. Omer avchia b'rei darabhuna le'nisrucha. Alo k'dei chayav. A person needs it for his parnasa, for his basic livelihood, that's okay. Right? And actually, Tosha brings... The Rashba brings the name of Rashi, Bizman Azeh. We're not to be matter in all cases because we have so many taxes and fees and whatever we can get our hands on, that's called Kedei Chayav, that's our basic sustenance. Ravina Amar, Hacha B'Talmid Echam Askinan. When the Mishnah allows it, typically you shouldn't be taking money from a guy, but if the Mishnah allows it, because it's a Talmud Chacham. Because there we suspend any, there's no concern, it circumvents any Chashash of over interaction with a guy. Time am I? Oh, goes the Rabbana. Why did the Rabbana not allow us to take from a guy? Shema yumi me'maisav. Might get too close with him and learn from his errant ways and his lifestyle. Kibun tamot chacham. Since it's a tamot chacham, he's safe and secure. Lo yumi me'maisav. There's no concern that he'll overly interact with a guy and learn from his errant ways. And therefore, our Mishnah allows making ribbous arrangements with a guy. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We discussed Imoyes Shel Yisoyim had invested safely and successfully. There are certain leeways. Ribbis Rabbanon, certain instances are suspended when it's Imoyes Shel Yisoyim. We discussed the concept of Kabbalah Tzoyin Barzel from a Yid, from a Goy, how it relates to Ribbis, how it relates to Bechor, and Ribbis interactions with a Goy, which is technically Mutar Min HaTorah, Asim Min Rabbanon. But we have two exceptions. One is Kedei Chayev, and one is a Talmud Chacham, who is protected from this type of concern. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.